This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki.
And good afternoon and welcome to Wahine Atua today. Marcia and Fee join me. Welcome, ladies.
Kia ora.
Hello.
Hey, we were talking the other day about how many of us are going through menopause and perimenopause at the moment, and also then when you start having conversations with younger women, how often they don't know about symptoms. So I thought, you know, as you said, Marcy, it's always good to go back and talk about menopause again. So that's the topic for today. But one of the things I really want to talk about, and as I just said to you beforehand off air, was that there has been a link now, which a lot of us weren't warned about, and that is the growing research has shown a link between menopause and brain health, including Alzheimer's. It's not about a fearful thing. It's about giving people information and awareness and empowering women to know things, which I think is something. So did you two hear about this and know much about it?
No, I haven't.
I've not heard that one at all.
Yeah.
Maybe I did and I forgot.
Da-da-da. It's really interesting because it says in the stats, it says, first of all, that Alzheimer's affects more women than men.
Yep, I was aware of that.
That menopause is now being studied as a key brain transition and not just a reproductive one, that it's a key brain transition going through menopause. And I think we could all agree with that, that it is.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, I think there's quite interesting to know you when you start thinking about it, think, you know, like we're just saying beforehand off air about what our own GPs and health professionals have said to us. And it was like that when you and I, Marcia, went to see Petra and Nikki in that show, Hot Mess, last year, was how many women have heard different things. And one of the things we were just saying about, like, you know, when GPs, let's face it, or your health professionals hear about HRT, are they thinking HRT, the old stuff, the way it used to be, or are they up to date with the new treatments that are available for HRT, and that it doesn't have to be, you know, the stickers or something you take orally. It can be a cream that you insert, you know, like there are so many different things.
We've just had visitors from the UK, and I was talking about, because since I've seen them last, I've gone through the patch revolution, and she's in her early 70s, and she was telling me she still uses an HRT sort of like pessary.
Okay, yeah.
A vaginal pessary twice a week. So that was a new one on me. I'd heard about the gels, but not that. And she's like, yeah, no, I'm still taking it. It's still providing value. It still works. So, yeah, I just another range of product that I'd not heard about.
No, I haven't heard of that either. What about you, Fee? What have you heard of?
Well, really nothing, because perimenopause and menopause was a non-event. I'm quite blessed, I mean, to be fair.
Cut her off.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's quite funny that you say that, though, because I've got another friend who's like, you know, and she has a marina put on. And so she had a marina put on when she, before perimenopause, and it's got her through perimenopause and menopause, and now she's come out the other side and didn't have any symptoms really. And it's not until now that she's had her marina come out, she's getting a little bit of hot flushing, but that's the only thing she gets, and that's it.
Yeah, well, I think maybe because I had issues, you know, because I have PCOS, that maybe that, you know, the universe said, look, we've given her a crap run to have children. We'll give her a break at the other end.
yeah.
I don't know, because, I mean, it's all hormonal based. So who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is genetic, I mean, you know, how your mum went through and things like that. unfortunately, I find that people don't talk to their parents. You know, like, I mean, have you had the conversation with your mum about, you know, how menopause was? Because a lot of, because that generation were a little bit more closed about, you know, anything to do with sex and, oh my goodness.
Well, I know my own sisters haven't either, you know.
I was aware about mum because hers came on just as my dad died. She was only in her early 40s, and it was a big, the shock kind of
Yeah,
brought that
I was going to say
on.
the stress would have done it. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we were top of everything else. Oh yeah, chuck a bit of menopause in with your grief. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I was very aware of that, and because I did kind of think, oh well, maybe I'll start early in a mid-40s, thinking mid-40s were early, and as we now know, it's not
No, it's
particularly.
not. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
It is pretty normal. I actually know of people who were in their late 20s who started going through perimenopause. And it's like I sit back and think, gosh, you know, like I look at my girls at that age and it's like far out, they're only a young woman, you know, how young they are. But it's not unheard of, you know, that's
No. We
not
watched a
unheard
movie
of.
the other night on Netflix called Joy, and it's all about the development of IVF.
Oh, it's
And
amazing, isn't it?
Joy
It's a
was,
brilliant movie.
Joy was the middle name of the first baby born. I remember it happening. I was sort of like 11, 12 when this happened, late 70s, 78, 79. And well, all the time I'm watching it, they're talking about women being able to have children and da, 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 and I'm thinking, crikey, then they were looking at women in their 20s who were having difficulty conceiving. And I'm like, I wonder what they'd think now if they were doing that now when the women are choosing to leave, or families, couples are choosing to have children later, knowing what we know now about when you start perimenopause. You're kind of like, wow. I mean, that would highly recommend the movie on Netflix at the moment. I mean, it's
Yeah, I've
got
got a funny feeling. I think I have seen it actually. I think I have
it got
seen
Bill
it.
Nye in it, and
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the other guy, but he's pretty awesome and been in loads of stuff. It's
Yeah,
just it's
such
a
brave
good
woman.
movie.
Brave, brave woman.
And the final point of it is that there was the two male doctors and the woman who were the three pioneers of this. And it took them years to get the woman recognised on the celebratory plaque, because they recognised the two men with
Men.
doctor in front of the name, but not this woman who'd been as instrumental in the whole process. That's another story about, and it were like something like 2010 before she actually got a name recognised from the 70s as being instrumental in this decision.
Crazy, eh? Hey, Marcy, I know you and I have talked about it. I'm not sure about how that affected whether you've had this or not, little fee, but I know Marcy and I have talked about the fact that we did have that, you know, that memory, brain fog, you know, and that was one of the biggest symptoms for me was definitely the brain fog, was definitely. And how did it affect you at all? Did you notice any of that fee at all?
Well, to be fair, because of my low dose chemo drugs that I've been on, I've had brain fog for years. Either that or it's terminal blondness, I'm not sure. So I've not really, it hasn't, not worse, if you know what I mean. So I wonder if it's counteracted from the fact that I've been on these drugs for like over 20 years, that I've kind of just, that's my normal. I suppose the only thing which possibly is I don't sleep as much. But that's, you know, is that to do, you know, it,
Absolutely, but
it
sometimes.
yeah, it's a bit like, if you go to the doctor, if you're overweight and you go to the doctor, everything's because of your weight.
Yeah, I agree.
You get to a certain age and the doctor says, oh well, that's just menopause, or that's this this, and it's probably, you know, and I mean, I've got a great doctor, but I know a lot of things are just put down, well, you know, you're a woman and you just should expect that. Yeah, but that doesn't work.
No.
I think, I mean, the brain fog, it, I think until you've experienced it, it kind of, oh, brain fog, it kind of, oh, it sounds a bit fluffy, but honestly, it is, it
Terrible.
was really debilitating for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the first symptom I noticed easing, apart from the pain in my
No.
wrists and my hips, but that was one of the first symptoms. I'm thinking, oh my God, it is actually going to get better, because that brain fog, and it was just so debilitating. I can't explain. And it wasn't just the brain fog, it was the overwhelm, it was they were all linked together, which is all the brain stuff. It was that doubting yourself, second guessing yourself, struggling to remember things, but then when you do, you think, have I remembered it right? So yeah, and that just stopping halfway through a sentence, as it because I couldn't remember what I was saying, and I'm like, oh, what is
Definitely
this? And when
imposter
you talk for a
syndrome.
living, it's infuriating.
It's quite funny, like they people, when you start talking to other women about it and they say about how much it affected their confidence, like at work and at home. And it's interesting when you think of also too that at that age, how many women get that increased lift of being diagnosed as having ADHD to around this time too, when they are going through menopause and perimenopause. It's quite interesting. It's also interesting to note that brain scans, when a woman hits perimenopause, the brain scans show a definite change around the memory centers of the brain, and the energy use of the brain, and they are the same symptoms that are shown in the early set of Alzheimer's and dementia. It's the same, exactly the same thing. And I guess one thing to reiterate, this doesn't mean that menopause causes dementia and causes Alzheimer's. It just means that you might be more susceptible to getting it, if you're having a rougher time going through menopause, which I think is something to quite interesting.
I do recall when I went to speak to my doctor about having, excuse me, the patches. He did say one of the, because I said, "Oh, can you tell me what the negative impacts are?" And he says, "I can." He says, "But I'd also like to give you the evidence or the research that's showing the positive impact that this also can have on your body." I think one of them was bone density. And the other one was staving off symptoms of things like Alzheimer's. I wanted to make an informed choice, and the relationship I've got with my doctor, I kind of said, well, what's the pluses, what's the negatives? Because I've mentioned before, I've got a blood clotting disorder, so that was one of my major concerns. Because I could never take the pill because of the estrogen, additional estrogen. Could cause blood clots, so we actually that's what I went to see him about. But because the risk was so minimal for an increased risk of blood clots, it was almost it was I think it was 0.01% increase. So I said, what? So he says, oh, well, these are the negatives, let's look at the positives. Because nobody says to me, he says, nobody ever talks about the positive reasons apart from the perimenopause stuff. So, but I do remember him saying about the Alzheimer's and the other thing, which I've forgotten the name of right now,
Ironically.
Go
because
figure.
I can see Tracy's knitting. I got distracted.
I am knitting. I sit here and knit. You know what I'm like? Terrible.
The thing is as well, there is a familial a predisposition, rather, I should say, for dementia and things like that. It does seem to run in families, and I don't know whether that's
Absolutely.
Is that a nature nurture thing? Like, I mean, I look at my mum, who up until her death was still doing the word finder and crosswords in the newspaper. So I know there's a lot that we can do to help ourselves. And I mean, she had zero dementia. My grandmother as well was the same. So I'm touching wood that I'm doing that. But then I try and do the same things that they do. Like I do the Wordle every day. So those sorts of things to try and keep that brain working. Whereas I don't know, some people seem to just sit in their chair, I've hit menopause, I'm past my use by date and might as well just sit there and wait to die for 20
Yeah,
years.
I think that's very true, because my mum's the same. Mum's as sharp as a knife. But it's interesting, I've got an aunt which was on, not biologically related to me, but by marriage, and she got Alzheimer's, and she was a very, very, very intelligent woman, was a writer, and exceptionally bright, and the stuff she'd have conversations with used to blow my mind sometimes as a kid growing up. And she'd always was very busy, but she got it, but her mother had it, got
Yeah.
Alzheimer's dementia in her late 50s, and definitely has hereditary. And then I look at my dad's mother, so my grandmother on my paternal side, and she got Alzheimer's, but she was in her 80s. But she got it. But then both her daughters got it, one really bad and ended up dying with it. But it's thank heavens it hasn't come to us. Like I don't like my sisters, I've got sisters who are in their 70s and none of them are showing signs of it. And of course mum's not. But definitely I think the frightening thing I find about it too is the fact that it's that whole thing of I'd hate to think for my family, like if I did get it, touch wood, it's for my children, like for them. And there's a wonderful woman who does actually not a podcast, but I guess you could probably say it as like a video podcast in the States. And she's looks after her mum, and her mum's got dementia and Alzheimer's and like really bad. And over the last probably 3 years, she's been videoing her mum of what she goes through as a caregiver with her mum, and now her mum's gone into a home. But it's really interesting to see because she talked about at the very beginning about the fact that her mum had a really rough time with menopause, a really rough time, and also had a really rough time having children and a really rough time with, things such as postnatal depression and all of those sorts of things. And you do all hormone related, obviously. And now that there's this link that they're saying there's definitely a link there between hormones and dementia and Alzheimer's, it makes you think, she was obviously onto something. Yeah, quite interesting. Do you think that knowing earlier is a good thing? That if you like to know that, say for example, you've gone through trying HRT maybe and it hasn't helped, and then they, because obviously they can do brain scans and tests that there's issues, might be issues. Do you think knowing earlier is a good thing to be empowered by information, or do you think,
Absolutely. It's a bit like lots of things. I mean, it's a bit like moisturizing. All the women who start using moisturizer in 40, oh, for God's sake, your skin's already, looking like a leather handbag. You should have started it when you were younger. And if we appreciate our bodies and our minds a lot more when we're younger, I mean, we all look back and think about the silly things we've done ourselves. But if we're starting to put those foundations in for our well-being when we are younger, then it's going to be easier. It has to be, because I mean, you can't just let our flesh suit do its own thing and then suddenly start caring about it and doing things. And so I think if we've got better education when we're younger, then we're going to make better choices, especially around hormones. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that, for example, have PCOS and or endo and all sorts of other things, and they all impact, especially when it comes to perimenopausal and how your hormones become, well, raging or not. Or I know for myself, I was quite lucky, probably because I did have PCOS and a good doctor about the hormone levels, because it's a, there's a hormone base in it. That, there was a period of time where I just wanted my husband to stop breathing, my first husband, and it was he would breathe and it would just enrage me, and it was a hormone imbalance. And I mean, I went to the doctor and says, I just want to suffocate him, and I mean, there was nothing wrong with him. He was doing nothing other than actually breathing. And then
Bit like
so I
you
went,
with your mum, Tracy.
I know, yeah, I want to push mum downstairs.
and it's that hormonal rage. And I mean, because we'd had a child, so I mean, he was obviously no use to me anymore and my hormonal weird brain. But
How old
yeah,
were you then, Fee?
I was 30, so. Yeah, and it was just a, and it was a hormone imbalance, and we got that sorted. And it was like, oh, I didn't want to suffocate him. I did divorce him, but that's a whole other story.
That's
but
life.
he could live and go off somewhere else,
Yeah.
but being, I was really lucky that I had a good doctor,
Yeah.
because a lot of it, I had a woman doctor actually, and she was really good. But a lot of people, they don't say anything; they suffer in
No.
silence. And yeah, I know. I just think we need to talk more about just everything.
Yeah, I think so
I've
too.
just been
I think
doing it as you do. I've just been doing a quick Google while you've been talking there. And I'm just looking. So dementia is a generic term, and Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. And there's four common types. So there's Alzheimer's, 60 to 80% of cases, vascular dementia caused by impaired blood flow to the brain.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then Lewy body dementia involves abnormal protein deposits in the nerve cells. And then frontotemporal, I'm sure I've said that absolutely wrong, dementia often affects personality and language. So, because I remember working in aged care, where I was also like 17, 18, there was one lady in particular, her specific word for an item was the wrong word. So, like, she'd look at a flower and call it, I don't know, a sausage or something. I can't remember the exact words, but she got, and you could see on a bad day, she'd say a sentence that was really difficult to string together because she were replacing words.
Terrible way. Do you think we have come as women, do you think we've come, I guess, to the point now where we are okay to go and talk to our GP? Do you think we've been able, do you think we've reached that stage to have that meaningful conversation with a health professional easily? I
I
think
feel
it's
I
easier.
can with my GP, but I think that's a building up of a relationship.
I think it's
Because
a
I've
bit
had that.
hard in Taranaki because a lot of people don't have a single GP. They're in those groups, and you get some random one or a locum, although sometimes locums can be good because they don't know you and they find things. And sometimes you feel like you're being a bit silly almost. But yeah, it's like I say, we need to take a bit more responsibility for our what I call our flesh suit.
I've got I'm in a GP practice where there's I'm at the Devon in New Plymouth where there's a lot of GPs, and if it's something that I need to go because I've got, I don't know, a broken this or a hurty that or a I don't mind which doctor I see, but if it's something to do with me ongoing health, particularly my menopause, then I will try and get in with my usual GP because he knows my journey. And it's not that I don't trust the others. There's one or two, you always get your favourites, hey? I mean, there's one that I see who scares me to death. And only because he reminds me of an old school teacher. But I feel like I'm being naughty. It's like, now then, Marcia, what can I do for you? And I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. I should have had my homework in.
That's
These
funny.
triggers, eh? Bloody hell, I'm 58. I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah,
But
you do though. That's quite normal, I think. I think also too, stress is a big, contributing factor, isn't it? It's about how much you're under stress wise. And I know with me, it definitely, I noticed my brain fog had got a lot worse when I was going through stress at work or at home, and that certainly didn't help. At all.
I thought I'd got defective patches just before Christmas because I had a couple of symptoms came back. Brain fog just started creeping in. The vertigo was back. And itchy skin. My palms and my scalp were really itchy. So they were the three thing some of the symptoms that stopped when I went on patches, but I don't know. I think it is simply because I was busy,
It's quite funny, you talked about your wrist before, because that's definitely something I noticed with my wrist, was how sore. And it felt like I had, because I actually had a fall and I hurt my wrist, and I thought it was just a residue of spraining a wrist, having a wrist injury. But then it was like 6 months later and it was still sore, but there was nothing physically wrong with them. And then it was like,
Wrists and hips, and I'd had a really bad shoulder for about 3 months, with about 6 weeks period in the middle where it was excruciatingly painful. Anything the physio did didn't seem to work. I tried osteo, which relieved it a little bit. And my usual regenerative health person, she had a go, and nothing seemed to do it. And I just thought I'd been hitting the crochet hook too hard.
Yeah.
But then once I'd started with the patches, the wrists and the hips went, and I just put it down to me generally feeling better, and my shoulder just got better. But now frozen shoulder and a bad shoulder and neck is a symptom because of the estrogen that's coming out, because we've got so many bits in a shoulder. I mean, we talk about all the operations you see people having because they've had all these problems with the shoulders. There's that much going on up there, and estrogen impacts that. So yeah, it was it that it could have been a mixture of both. But yeah, just before sort of like November time, end of November, I'm thinking, oh, I've got a dodgy batch of patches. I've got some symptoms coming back. But to be honest, what I did, I knew I were busy, so I were kind to myself. I
Yeah.
let me out. I think one of my secret weapons for combating any symptoms that come back is naps. I
Yeah.
can't rate naps highly enough. I've had one today before we came onto this recording. I says, oh, I'm just going to have half an hour later. But yeah, I feel smashing after a nap. I mean, we were saying off air that there's a new name for perimenopause. What was it? Cougar
Cougar
puberty.
puberty, yep.
Well, I think if we go a step back, toddlers are in that much of a change, they have to have a nap. Is that the same
Absolutely.
for us? I mean, I'd never really had naps until I got perimenopause, and honestly, they were the best thing going. Even 15 minutes, I lie down, eyes shut, switch off, reboot, works brilliant. I can't speak for it highly enough. I think there should be part of the workplace. I used to jokingly say when I worked at the wheelhouse, we needed a chaise longue, or one of these
Absolutely. We need to
a
all
dinner
move to
bed,
Italy.
so we could just go and have during lunchtime, just go and have a
My
15
power
minute power nap.
nap.
Honestly, it would make
But
it. I mean,
lots
I
of
think
other
they do it in
cultures
China,
do that.
right?
They do.
Yeah.
They
There are
do. a lot of cultures. And in Indonesia and places like that, it kind of, because of the heat, everyone just stops
Yeah,
and,
Spain have
have
a
a siesta.
siesta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas we think, oh, no, we'll work through. But to be fair, in the weekends, I work in the cooler of the morning, gets hot, I go inside. I mean, sometimes I do have a nap, and then I'll work in the evening. It's just, it's logic. It's but in our Western society, we're very forward focused with our time, and it's got to be done, it's got to be done, and do it then, and do it then, rather than the natural rhythms of our bodies. So it's really
Yeah, I
no
agree.
wonder that we have a lot of issues,
Absolutely.
because
I'm going to
we're
be a nap
fighting.
campaigner.
It's funny, all the
Absolutely.
things that were punishments as a child are now like pleasure.
Yeah,
But we won't go
I've
into the whole list.
been to see me nephew and niece this afternoon, and my great nephew, and he was picked up and taken for a nap, and they're like, sorry, I know you've come, but sorry, if he doesn't have his nap, it's gonna be set the week off bad, because he needs to have his nap. Then he'll have a good sleep, so he'll be ready for daycare in the morning. I'm like, yeah. And his mum said, and I'm going to go and have one with him too. Said, I don't blame you.
Absolutely. On that note, I'm going to go and have a nap too. So thanks for joining us this week, and we will see you back here next week on Wahine Atua. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.